What does it say? I'm gonna put them on my website.
Voice memos. Nathaniel, first day of Christmas.
Yeah, but that's the one I did.
Genesis 1, 9 through 11.
That's what I did last time. I didn't record the first one that I did.
Oh, you're recording right now?
I'm going to put it on my website at some point. It's my goal.
Ah.
We'll see. Lord willing.
I'm old enough to remember Tennessee Ernie Ford show. And that's how he finished it off every night.
What?
The Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll see you next week.
Oh, okay. And the creek don't rise.
Yeah, well, that's a southern thing. They didn't have a lot of bridges in the You can't get across the creek because it's flooding. So anyway.
Let me go to the restroom really quick. Hold on.
But people didn't like that. Tony. Hey, Tony.
Doing well, no complaints.
Good.
Another beautiful day.
Boy Scout knew this Boy Scout thing. That's the salute. This means quiet.
Oh,
I'm Boy Scout.
I'm James.
James Pinchinich.
Yep, nice to see you.
Did we meet before?
Maybe last time you were here.
That would have been like months and months and months.
So there's a Calvary Chapel out there?
Yeah, we got Calvary Chapel Bennett, and we're starting Most Excellent Way out there.
Cool.
And so Buck texted me, and I was like, sure. And so, good to meet you.
Timothy, good to see you.
You got drunks out there?
I can't count the
drunks.
Drunks in the bed.
That's an idea. Put it right in front of you.
You better be fresh in your heart.
All right, let's go ahead and get started.
What's that, James?
I'm ready. Are you sure? Are you ready?
Hold on. Angel, is everybody seated correctly? Okay, we're okay.
Great, I'm glad everything's okay. I'm James.
Hey, James.
I'm going to be teaching you out of God's Word tonight. I've taught a couple of times I figured I'd start in Genesis. And so really, I chose Genesis because I believe that if you have a good understanding of Genesis, it'll really set you up for success. If you can understand Genesis, you can understand the whole rest of the Bible. Brother Buck says sometimes dress for success or put on the full armor of God. Well, I would say amen to that, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see Jesus in Genesis all over the place, but really we want to understand Genesis. At least this is what I'm wanting to do, so I'm just sharing that with you. That's what I'm here to do tonight. On day one, we've already studied that. It's on page one in your Bible. We saw that. Uno. Yeah, on day one, God created the expanse of the heavens and the earth. Then day two came around, and day two had no blessing, or at least that's the way I interpreted it. Day one, at the end of day one, God said, and it was good. Day two, he didn't say that. Now, today, we're studying day three, and day three had a double blessing. So he said, and it was good, but he said it twice. The first part of day three we talked about last time, and that was really just God setting up the scene. And the scene was the earth and the seas. So that was the scene. And that's what we learned the blessing was in that scene. The blessing was the setting. The blessing was the gathering together. And so we talked a lot about that last time. We also learned that blessing is God's default setting. He wants to bless us. It's his first and foremost reflex. We saw last time he created the dry land. He didn't create the waters, and the waters were already there, and that's because he is the living water. We kind of talked about that a little bit. So he didn't need to be created because God is, he was, and he always will be. So he didn't need to create the waters because he is the living water. So today on day three, the second part of day three, and we'll finish it today, God created with just a word, with just his word, the grass, the herbs, and the fruit trees. So these three things are essential in our world today, but certainly were of great importance in the forming of the world. And finally, on day three, we're going to see the second blessing and why God said it was good, but he said it twice on this day. And really, the whole reason I think to study Genesis in this such detail, because I'm moving very slowly here. I could just say, hey, God created everything, and great, move on. But I think it's very important to do this. And I think it builds our faith. It establishes that God is who he says he is. He did what he said he did, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And he did it in 6 days. And that's what we're studying tonight. So I'll go ahead and pray. You can find your place, find your way to page one on your book, and we'll go from there. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share the things that you've revealed to me in your word. And I just pray that your word would go forth tonight, that it would accomplish the purpose for which you sent it, that you would put me aside, Lord, and just speak through me, and let your Holy Spirit just come upon everyone here tonight. Teach them great things out of your word, and bless them tonight, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, so let me see. Can I have someone read? Salvador, maybe can you read? Let's read all of day three, so verses 9 through 13.
Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And he gathered, and the gathering together of the waters, he
Yep.
Spectacles.
Hey, it's going through the window.
Slicing the precious teacher time.
Alright, here we go.
Do verse 10 over.
Ready.
Verse 10. Start at verse 10.
Verse 10? Right. God called the dry ground land and the waters sea. And he saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and three trees that grow seed-bearing fruits. The seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. Then the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, trees, seed-bearing fruits. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day.
Thanks, Salvador. That's good. So,
thank you.
Those are the essentials that were really created on the third day, the second half of the third day there. It was the grass, the herbs, and the fruit. Your version did it a little bit differently. I'm reading out of the New King James here. That might have been the NIV. I think some people might call it the non-inspired version. Just kidding, of course. It's all God's word. It's all good all the time. So anyways, the first thing that we'll talk about is grass. We'll ask ourselves, why grass, okay? Well, grass is the most essential plant on the planet. It oxygenates the atmosphere. It holds the dust of the earth together. It stabilizes the sea bottom. And most importantly, it provides food and habitat for other animals. Not only is grass hugely important for the earth, but it's also spiritually, it just paints a picture of who we are, of us, and our life. Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher that I love very much, his writings, wrote an entire sermon on grass. I'm not going to recite it here tonight, but it was all based on one verse, Psalm 104, verse 14, which says, "He causes the grass to grow for the cattle." He said here, "The grass may be instructively looked upon as the symbol of our mortality. All flesh is grass. The whole history of man may be seen in the meadow. He springs up green and tender, subject to the frosts of infancy which imperil his young life. He grows, he comes to maturity, he puts on beauty, even as the grass is adorned with flowers and the meadows are decked out with varied hues. But after a while, his strength departs and his beauty is wrinkled, even as the grass withers and is followed by a new generation, which withers in its turn. Like ourselves, the grass only ripens to decay. The sons of men come to maturity in due time and then decline and wither as the green herb. Some of the grass is not left to come to maturity at all, but the mower's scythe suddenly removes it. Even as swift-footed death overtakes the careless children of Adam." And that's just such a positive and encouraging way to leave you guys, with swift-footed death going to overtake us as the children of Adam because we're like grass. It does get better here. So we'll talk about the herbs that yield seed. And let me go ahead and read just the New King James. Really quick here. It says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit that yields fruit according to its kind." So we see the herbs and the seeds. The herb that yields seeds. Okay, what kind were they? I was curious. I kind of wanted to know. So I looked into it a little bit more, and the short answer was there was many herbs and seeds that were created, right? The first ones that were created by God were good, and we know this because he said so, and it was good, and God saw that it was good, it said. However, and we'll get to this at some point in a later teaching, this herbs mentioned here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, those are different than the herbs mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. Let's just, for the sake of argument, though, say that all herbs are good, okay? One author said this. He said, tobacco is a seed-bearing plant, the leaves of which are smoked by many people. It's exactly the same as marijuana in that way. Tobacco is highly addictive, a highly addictive, incapacitating, and deadly plant, albeit legal in the eyes of man. What's the difference? Saying that marijuana is good simply because it's a seed-bearing plant ignores the many other seed-bearing plants that just like it are deadly. Then he said, most beverage alcohol is made from seed-bearing plants. Wine is made from grapes, which have seeds. Beer is made from barley, which is a seed. Whiskey is made from various grains, like rye, which is a seed. But abuse of alcohol in the Bible is evil. Not necessarily only in the Bible, but because of inebriation from anything. From anything is evil. People who get stoned on anything, unless they repent, are making their character unfit for salvation, this author says. So let me just read a sobering verse or a passage for me that I came across recently. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21 says, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. So let's just be thankful that we live under the law of grace and not under... Yeah. You know,
ain't nobody here.
Yeah, anyways. So, anyways.
Half the United States would be there, bro. More than half.
All right, so we've talked about the grass, and hopefully we've settled a little bit more on the herbs and the herbs that yield seed. Okay, but now is the fun part, and that's saved the best for last, right? And now the fun part is the trees that bear fruit. So I said at the beginning, there's a second blessing, right? But you're maybe asking, we'll get to the second blessing. You know, that's the best part. What is the second blessing? The second blessing is bearing fruit. And this is how I'm interpreting it. But the second blessing is bearing fruit. The trick is, though, it comes with a catch. Okay? Let's just first describe bearing fruit, or define it, rather. The Cambridge Dictionary... a secular dictionary just says to be successful, bearing fruit means to be successful, especially after a lot of work or effort. The Christian definition of bearing fruit is bearing fruit is a result of obedience to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's promptings. Amen. It's different because we don't actually do the work like the world's dictionary defines it, you know. God does it through his Spirit. And he's already done it through Jesus on the cross. He already did that work for us so that we could bear fruit. We don't have to do the work with a lot of effort like the Cambridge Dictionary says. So let's read verse 11 here, 11 and 12 again in more detail. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So we can see here that God is the creator of the fruit tree, not man. That's a basic thing we're seeing here. The fruit trees are the plants that sustain on the earth without human intervention. Man was not around at this point. Psalm 104, verse 13, the verse before that's Charles Spurgeon verse I read, says, "He, or God, waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works," or God's works. So again, it's all pointing to God. It's God's works here. "The earth is satisfied because of God's works, not our works. The fruit trees bear fruit because their seed is in themselves." God makes sure to tell us that twice. "And we are also like the fruit trees. However, with one big difference, we cannot bear fruit on our own power. Only God and his Holy Spirit have the power to bear good fruit. And because of sin, we as human fleshly bodies only bear bad fruit." So I guess I'll take that back. We do bear fruit. We can bear fruit, but we can only bear bad fruit apart from God. That's the distinction, apart from God. "So much like we are grass, so are we also like the trees that bear fruit." Sure, we can bear fruit, but eventually we're just going to see that it's bad apart from God. So the key to experiencing the second blessing, the catch, is repentance. And this is one of my favorite topics to talk about, of course. Being very sarcastic there. It's very hard. I struggled with putting this together for a long time because repentance is not something that we naturally want to deal with. So the first blessing was gathering together. And the second blessing, and that's great, by the way. Gathering together, we're all here together tonight. That's awesome. It's great. But we can't fully experience the second blessing without first repenting of our sins. So let's just figure out, what is repenting of our sins? What does it mean? It's defined here as feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. When John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus, he had to prepare everyone for Jesus, the perfect Son of God, coming into the world to forgive our sins. He said in Matthew 3, verse 8 to 10, he said, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's the New Testament. That's not the Old Testament. But it's still there, right? This is why we're studying Genesis. This is why we're going through it in detail, at least the creation account. Because everything that was in the Old Testament, you can see in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, when he started his ministry, he said, or he didn't say this, the quote is from 4:17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" His very first word as he started his ministry was repent. So this is, again, why we study Genesis in such detail. The creation account is so important to understand this. It's important to note that in creation, before sin entered the world, before man was ever created, the creation was subject to what God said. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, herb, fruit." Then in response to what God said, it says in verse 12, "And the earth brought forth grass, herb, fruit." So God's creation obeyed immediately. You know, do we obey immediately when God tells us to do something? You know, I want us all to be able to experience the blessing of gathering together, the first part of the blessing on day 3. And I also want us to all be able to experience the second part of the blessing, and that's bearing fruit. My testimony is short in this bit here, but I've been a part of two churches in my whole life. I got saved at a very late age. And the first church I got saved in, it was coincidentally called the Orchard. You know, lots of fruit and trees there. I followed God as closely as I knew. I gave up and turned away from many of the life-dominating sins that were in my life, including drugs and alcohol. And God blessed me in much of what I did. And he did that because of his grace.
Amen.
But after a while, I became stagnant. I started to backslide into some of the sins that God had already saved me from, like I'm sure many of us have done. My sin was brought forth. It was brought about again. You can't hide from your sin. It will always find you out. And at that point, I was given a choice. My choices were repent immediately and start following God, or continue in my backslidden ways, continue to live a life unfulfilled, without true intimacy and fellowship with God and other believers. I chose to repent. You know, I love all of you guys here. Absolutely. I love you guys. This is like a family to me. And Calvary is a family to me. And when we gather together and we've repented of our sins, God will bless that. This isn't the prosperity gospel by any means. This isn't the prosperity message like, if you do this, then God will bless you. Because we know that God does bless the just and the unjust, the sinners and the righteous. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, it says. So we know that he's going to bless you. But you can almost say without certain or 100% certainty that God is going to bless you if you repent of your sins and follow him. You know, Jesus came to save us, but we can't be saved unless we repent first. Maybe we are saved and just stuck in some life-dominating sin. You know, repent and be saved from that sin. There's some beautiful passages in Isaiah 61 concerning the prophecy of believers of Jesus Christ. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but one of the verses that really stuck out at me was Isaiah 61, verse 6. Let's go ahead and you guys can turn there, and we'll just kind of read that together really quick. Isaiah 61, verse 6. There's so much in Isaiah 61 relating to fruit trees and stuff like that. But verse 6 says, Isaiah 61, 6, "But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast." And I'll just go ahead and read 7 too here, because this touches on the double blessings in 7. "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of your confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." You know, that's just, I find that beautiful, those verses right there. And that whole chapter is just amazing. What I see out of that is we need to stop those life-dominating sins. We can no longer say, my father was a drunk, my grandfather was a drunk, so I'm a drunk. That's just the way it is. You know, it runs in the family. We can't say that anymore. We're part of a new family.
Yeah.
We're all here together. If we know Jesus, we are part of a new family. If we've heard the gospel, we're part of his family. You know, Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. He taught us about having a relationship with God. He was killed by those he came to save. He was hung on a tree that was cut down, and it was good for nothing except death. Some might even say that he didn't bear fruit in his life. but it was in his death that he bore much fruit. Jesus died, but his fruit did not die, because it wasn't bad fruit. It was good fruit. His fruit was left in us through the gift of the Holy Spirit that came afterwards. Jesus died, but he rose again by the power of the Spirit of God, whom he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And today, tonight, he lives again. His spirit's alive. He's here right now, and he's searching us out. You know, Jesus wants us to bear fruit, and he wants us to commit our lives to him. But first, we must repent. So stop those life-dominating sins. Bear fruit that's worthy of repentance. Be the priests of the Lord that God has called us to be. That's all I have for you tonight. Thank you so much. I'll go ahead and pray us out. We'll take a break. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for just the great truths that are found in the creation account that can still apply to our lives every day. Thank you for the fruit that's going to be bored here today, Lord, because of your word, because of repenting of our sins. And I just pray for anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you. I pray for those that just need to grow closer to you. I pray that they would talk to someone about repenting of their sins and bearing fruit, bearing good fruit. And I pray that as we go from here tonight, that you would deliver us home safely. And I pray that we would just all be blessed, and that you would give us a double portion, a double blessing in our life this weekend. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
James. Thank you, James.
Good night. So we'll go ahead and take a few minute break. The ladies are going to join downstairs. Men up here.
Thanks, James. You're welcome. And we'll tighten up the circle. Reminded me, I didn't finish that. I started. You know that, what do you call it?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that message. Hey, thank you. It was a good one.
Thank you.
That daily devotional thing, I went to.
Did you do that?
I started bad fruit, and I just realized I didn't do it today.